Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, greeting you in the name of our Lord Jesus. And here is another nugget of truth that I want to share with you from Galatians. And this is Galatians 5, and we shall spend a little time here. The apostle is challenging people, and he says in verse 1 of Galatians 5, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." He goes on to say, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of Jesus that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be." And then he goes on to talk about his preaching and walking in the Spirit. Verse 16, "I say this to you, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now, we see the whole concept here of the Apostle Paul, who is saying, stand steadfast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. It's an awful thing that we don't know what to do with freedom. When I think of these dear men and women of the Second World War and Korean War, Vietnam, and now in the deserts of Afghanistan and Iraq and so on, we see all this bloodshed, all these maimings and terrible things that have taken place amongst our young people. We have to say there is a cost to liberty. But the liberty that we're talking of here is not just the cost of a body. It is the cost of the Spirit. And the cost is terrifying. You see, we think sometimes we can get away with all sorts of things, and the adultery and the idolatry and the witchcraft and hatred, envyings and murders and drunkenness. And we think we can get away with all that. And we do, to a point. But there comes a time when we're brought up sharp. And that sharpness is awful. because we stand before God and God says, now, let's talk about the liberty that I gave you in my Son, Jesus Christ. Let's understand that you made a profession of faith somewhere in all of this. And he says in verse 13 of this chapter 5, brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, only to not use liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love to serve one another. So he puts a different phase or a different glance on this liberty. You have liberty so that you can serve, and you can serve the Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes people use liberty as a cloak to sin, and that's a dreadful thing. It spoils the whole thing that Jesus died for, that Jesus rose from the dead to give us. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, verse 14. And then in verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of the other. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And those are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. It's important to see all this. The writer, the Apostle Paul, is saying that what happens amongst Christians is we bite one another. As a boy, I got a job when I was 11 years old of delivering newspapers. I had to get up early in the morning, which was no real problem for me. And I had to go out early and collect my papers from the store and then take those papers and deliver them. And it took a couple of hours to get them delivered and then off to school. I was pleased to do it because I made some money, and money helped me along, and I had a certain amount of independence if I had money. But then there was a fellow amongst the paper boys who delivered the newspapers early in the morning, and they were always trying to get one another's turf, as it were. So they would tell stories against somebody. I didn't do that, but I felt awkward about it, because I knew some of the fellows who did do it. There was one house I used to have to go to, and they had lots of magazines as well as papers. And most days their package wouldn't go through the letterbox, and I had to put it in a special box that was outside the door. The moment I got to that box, they had a dog, and he would come up behind me and he would nip at my heels. He would never get in front of my feet, I think because he'd been kicked by others, and he was about to be kicked by me if he ever got there. What happened was he would bite my heel. It hurt. I didn't like delivering to that place, and I did not want to go there. There are people who have left our churches. They don't want to go there because they've been bitten. They don't like being there because they feel awkward, and the awkwardness comes from being bitten. People seem to want to devour them, and so they think it's a bit awkward to go to such a place. Now, not to bite or destroy another person. Consider this in Galatians. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Let's look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This business of the Holy Spirit talking and teaching us is very important. I would like to take you a step further and ask you, please, to look at chapter 4. Look at verse 6. because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Interesting, isn't it? God has given us such a place. If you look at verse 5 of chapter 5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We have righteousness, and it has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29 of chapter 4, where the writer says, As then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, ye are not children of a bondwoman, but of a free. We should understand that Jesus brought us freedom, and he gave to us this magnificent freedom that we might live in the life of the Lord Jesus and in the power of his Spirit. Notice the production of the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in the 5th chapter. We read in verse 22 through 23 of the 5th chapter, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, he is challenging these people to walk in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. You and I need to do that. We delight in the law of God. We delight in the law of God. I would ask you to quickly just turn to the book of Romans, and we can see from the 7th chapter of Romans how it is that we have become people who delight in the things of God because he has made it very plain to us. And in the 7th chapter 22, it simply says, For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind of I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. The apostle has broken it down for us to understand that we are in this wonderful place where the law of God sustains us. I would ask you to take this into deep consideration. The principle of fulfilling the law of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in the 6th chapter of Galatians and verse 2, Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're critical of people, and we think we fulfill the law. What we need to understand is that we, as a group of people who are loving the Lord Jesus, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to feel the burden. The burden is there, and we're to carry that burden. In John 8 and verse 36, If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It's very important that you and I understand freedom. Rejoice in the glorious liberty of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus himself set us free. It's not our merits. He did it by becoming a curse for us. You can read this in Galatians 3 and 13, where we discover Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Jesus hung on a tree, and the man who hangs on the tree is cursed. But we are free because Jesus was cursed for us. He who knew no sin was cursed. This is a terrible thing to think about and to thank God for, but it's still very difficult to understand how the Lord Jesus would so love me that he would die for me and be resurrected from the dead, that he might lift me up and put a new song in my mouth and put a new spring in my step and give to me the joy of his salvation. It was a gift. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift. The Lord Jesus is truly wonderful. Let's go to Hebrews 10 for a moment, please. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 19 and 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke one unto love and to good works. Now, the apostle is saying, don't forsake gathering together. But if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. We have to come to the place where we have boldness to enter the holiest place of all. Can you enter that place? Of course you can. If your love for the Lord Jesus is such that you are born again and you are in him and you are growing in him and the Holy Spirit is overwhelming you, you see, he was a curse for us. It's by his blood that he made things work for us. He is constantly doing this through his Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Galatians for a moment, and the third chapter this time. And we find in verses 2 and 3 these words, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" And so many Christians have turned to the flesh, and so many Christians have said, if I do this, I get that, and God will reveal to me certain things if in my flesh. The Word of God says there is no place for the flesh. Look at verse 14. The blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Do you believe this word of God? And the Holy Spirit will teach you. Look at verse 6 of chapter 4, and you will discover, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's important to understand this. Verse 29 teaches us clearly, as we've already seen, that as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. There's persecution coming, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Look at this from 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord Jesus did not free us to enslave us with new rules and regulations. I would put great emphasis on this, and I would put exclamation marks all over this. I have given you this statement, and it is a truthful statement. We are free. Ye that are free have received Christ. You're free indeed. Free from all these things. This is why I have said many times on these programs, it doesn't matter what the politicians say. It doesn't matter what parties people belong to. It just doesn't matter. We are not fighting for the freedom of politics. We are fighting for the freedom of the Spirit. And we are lifted up and elevated by the freedom of the Spirit of Christ. There is absolutely no need for you and I to be bothered with all the intricacies of politics. There is absolutely no need to get upset that it's not going our way, or it's gone too far in a different direction, or whatever that you want to say about politics today. It doesn't matter. What matters is that our freedom is not in the flesh. It is not on the earth. It is in Christ. And that freedom has set us free. You see, all these politicians, good, bad, and indifferent, whatever, all of them have to understand that God has a plan. They are part of a plan of destruction. They are part of a plan of deceit, and they are nothing but puppets. Now, if you as a Christian stand aside from all this and look at what's going on in this country and in the world, you will soon see that God's plan is being worked out. It was my birthday a week or so back. My sister-in-law phoned me, and she said, "Oh, it's terrible back here in England. It's awful. The politics this and the politics that." And I was able to say, I hope, gently and kindly, it doesn't really matter, because we are not bothered with that sort of thing. What we're bothered with is being right with God. And we are standing on the promises of God. And it is God that wills these things to happen. His said becomes so, as it did at creation. Obviously, we're running into what's called the last days. And the saints of God need to understand the politics of the day are not important compared with what God is doing through the politicians. He is bringing us all kinds of slavery. People say, well, look at the liberty that we're giving up, the attack on the Second Amendment, the First, the Third, and so on. Well, it is a shame, but I have to say to you, be very careful, Christian. Don't get carried away with this stuff, because it distorts the vision that God has for this world. And God has for this world something called glory. And we are participants in the glory of Christ. And we are participants in the heaven that will open and receive us in. And there are mansions in this heaven. And we have a place in this heaven, Jesus said. And if it were not so, I would have told you, but it is so. And I go to prepare a place for you, said Jesus. Now, to avoid sin's repetition, stop sinning. Stand firm. Stand fast. The apostle said in this fifth chapter, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why should we not be entangled with the yoke of bondage, the things of this earth? Well, Jesus told a story, and he said, you know, the fields are white under harvest. People can be saved. People can be brought to know me. People can come and love me, and they'll never be turned away. People whose circumstances have become intolerable can turn their attention to me, and I will never leave them, never forsake them. I will keep them. I will call them saints. They will be joint heirs with Christ, says the word of God. Now, the important thing here is to understand what Jesus was saying. There is a more important way. There is a new and living way. And our politicians are not showing us that way at all. They're telling us all sorts of things. If you go to Matthew and chapter 11 and verses 29 through 30, Jesus is talking and he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me." And the Lord Jesus is saying, I am the answer to these people that say that they can stand in the flesh and work things out in logic. Logic is a strange creature. And you can prove with logic all sorts of things if you're dishonest. And people do it using the logic of the day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, and all who listen to this program, I share these things with you because Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Redeemer and lover, and he will never fail us who love him. Turn your attention altogether to him and trust him, for you are free in Christ. Now stand, therefore, stand fast and learn of him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us, guide us, and direct us, and that you will keep us in your peace, and that you will undertake for us in all things. Lord, bless us now and hold us tightly, that we may follow you all the days of our lives and dwell in your house forever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. God bless you.